Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri, and we're in an exciting study of the book of Revelation. Yesterday we talked about how you have to rightly divide the word to understand it. We're told that in 2 Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we see that the book of Revelation, you have to divide between the peoples, the Jews, the nations, and the church. And then you have to make a division of time and understand the time that's involved in the book of Revelation. So today, it may look like we're not studying the book of Revelation, but we are. Because the book of Revelation, the period that we call the tribulation, is exactly the same time that is known in Bible prophecy study as Daniel's 70th week. Some of you may very well know what that 70th week is. Some of you maybe have never heard of it. But we're going to go back and we're going to look at the Bible to understand what Daniel's 70th week is. So we have to go to the book of Daniel. Now, in the book of Daniel, as you know, there had come a judgment on the Jews because they had not walked as they should have walked. The glory had left their temple, and it is going to be destroyed, and they're going to be overrun by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. But before he actually, they made several sieges of it and came in and took some captives early on before they burned the temple. They came in earlier and sieged it, and we'll read about it in Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. He took his mighty Babylonian armies and set up a siege all around Jerusalem. When they would do this, they would attempt to cut off water and food, and of course they were formidable, the huge forces of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel 1 verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, and he carried them unto the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. Shinar in the Bible is the same as Babylon. Verse 3, and the king Nebuchadnezzar spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring in certain from the children of Israel, even of the seed royal and of the nobles, youths in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and endued with knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability to stand in the king's palace, that he should teach them the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So Ashpenaz, and he's the master of the eunuchs, the master of this king's college, you might say, and they go to Jerusalem and they capture their best youths. The seed royal, it says. So that means that the ones they took away were the ones that were related to the house of the house of David. These were the ones who had the best education. They were the young men that were brought up in the palaces. They had been taught from the very best knowledge of the day. And he ordered them to bring them back because he's going to teach them the tongue of the Chaldeans first, the language, and then he's going to teach them in his schools. In those days, to capture a nation's intelligence, you had to capture its people. Today, you might capture a computer, but in those days, you had to capture a well-educated young man. Daniel 1, verse 6. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the prince of the eunuch gave names unto them. Unto Daniel he gave the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Now, the only one that stuck, the three stuck, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we all know them by those names rather than their Hebrew names, but Daniel, we only call him Daniel. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar had given him the name of one of the idols, Belteshazzar. So we don't call him by that name. In the 21st verse of chapter 9 in Daniel, we find him. Now, you remember, you know the stories. You know how that they were taught. You know, they heard the, they were in the palace, and they were taught how to live by the Jewish law. They were taught by the prophets, and they heard the prophets. Daniel, as a young man growing up, had been there in the palace. The prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, when they gave their prophecies, they gave them in either the temple area or they gave them at the palace. And so Daniel, being of the seed royal, he had heard the prophecies of Jeremiah, which said that they were going to go into captivity for 70 years. Now, Daniel begins to pray about these things. Daniel 9:21. Still, I was speaking in prayer, and the man Gabriel, I think we'll start a little earlier. I'm going to turn here in my King James Bible and go to the book of Daniel. We're going to start actually, and maybe this will give you time to get your Bible out, but we're going to go to a Daniel chapter 9. Just a minute here. We're getting to it. We have to go. Here we go. Here we go. Now, it's very interesting what had happened here. You know, Daniel had seen, first, King Nebuchadnezzar had seen a vision. He saw a great, like a warrior, and it had a head of gold, it had arms of silver, it had a belly and thighs of brass, it had legs of iron, and toes part of iron and part of clay. And he had seen the entire time of the Gentiles. And he was so troubled by his dream, and he called Daniel. Because Daniel sent word to him, I can interpret that dream. He was so troubled that he was going to have all the wise men killed. And Daniel said, don't kill us. There's a God in heaven who can reveal it to us. And so Daniel then got the revelation that the head of gold was the Babylonian Empire, but that it wasn't going to last forever. It was going to be overthrown by the Medo-Persian Empire, who were the arms of silver. So Daniel, he was carried over early on as a young man. And now he's been there about, they've been captivity about 70 years, and something happened to fulfill prophecy. Daniel chapter 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. When he saw things happening in the natural, I do this very same thing. When I see things happening that I know are prophesied in the Bible, I go and get the Bible out and study about it. I'm studying right now about Egypt because things are happening there. I'm studying about what's happening in Syria because it's written in the Bible. So that's what he did. He went and got the prophecies. He had access to them. He got the prophecies of Jeremiah, and he began to study them because he saw the Medes overthrow the Babylonians. And so, what did he do? He got to prayer. Verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek prayer and supplication with fastings and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed unto the Lord. The first thing he did was ask for utterance. He asked for prayer. He sought prayer. King James has the word by in it, but you need to cross it out. It's not there. I set my face unto the Lord to seek prayer. There's no by there. And supplications. And after he got the words to say, then Daniel began to pray. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. And I said, O Lord, the great and awesome God, keeping covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. Now he's going to begin to pray, and he's going to pray for his, you're going to see he's going to pray for his people, their nation, their city. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. And here's the confession that he was given. Verse 5, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We've done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither did we listen to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers. O Lord, verse 7, righteousness belongs to you, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, near and far off, through all the countries where you have driven them, because of their trespasses that they have trespassed against thee. His confession is for the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel. To the Lord belongs mercy and forgiveness. He goes on with his repenting. And he speaks in verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet we made not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understanding your truth. And he said, that's why these things have happened. And then he begins to direct his prayers to a certain... Now remember, he had asked God to give him the prayer. And God gave it to him. Just what to say. He repented. And he repented for, verse 16, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary, that's the temple, that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. Incline your ear, open your eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by your name, that's Jerusalem. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness. O Lord, hear, verse 19. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my Jerusalem. For thy city and thy people are called by thy name. We see him making a prayer. It's only involving Daniel's people, God's city, Jerusalem, the temple. This chapter has nothing to do with the church. And that's why tomorrow, when we look at Daniel's 70th week, we're going to see who that pertains to. And it is not us. This is an absolute necessity to understanding the book of Revelation. So we invite you to be back with us tomorrow. And don't forget, we have these archived on our radio, 1-800-972-3447. You can contact us here, and we'll tell you, you can go online, billybrim.org, and there you can pull up the radio archives. I believe some of our earliest teachings might be available by CD, but call us at 1-800-972-3447 to find out. Shalom, shalom.